Our scripture reading this morning will come from Galatians, the first chapter. Verses 6 through 9. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
This past week, I reviewed a book written by a member of the church, a man who's preached and taught for many, many years. In this book, it was published back in 2001, he affirms that the teaching done by the churches of Christ, typically about the Godhead, is all wrong. Religious groups that, instead of using the Godhead, would sometimes use the word Trinity, he says that they have been in error as well. This man is from within our fellowship, and he denies that God is composed of a compound one, that is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the book, he also denies that the Holy Spirit is God. Now, this man were an isolated case, that might be one thing, but he's not. He is just one of a number of brethren who have become involved with something, a rather unusual and an unsound doctrine. And that's not only true within the church, it's true outside the church as well. But looking at, for a moment, the church, we find that there are some other brethren who have come up, as the years have gone by, with some very unusual and unsound teachings. One example of that, beyond what we gave, is called the 70 AD theory. And this is a very interesting but false doctrine. It is a teaching that's directly associated with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. History leaves no doubt, if anyone even just glances at the history books, that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, about 2,000 years ago. But the 70 AD doctrine takes this historical fact and applies it in some very unusual ways. For instance, adherents of this doctrine would say that all biblical prophecy was fulfilled no later than 70 AD, almost 2,000 years ago. Now think about that statement. All Bible prophecy was fulfilled really in the first century. Well, if every prophecy were fulfilled in 70 AD, then that would mean that no prophecy is going to be fulfilled in the future. Well, that creates some questions. Did not Jesus prophesy that he would at some point in time have a second coming? Well, he did. But if the 70 AD doctrine is right and all prophecy has been fulfilled, then that would mean that there will not be a second coming. According to the 70 AD doctrine, the second coming of Jesus has already happened. Jesus came and he came in 70 AD. Well, did Jesus not promise a resurrection for all people at some point in the future? He did. But the 70 AD doctrine says that the resurrection has already happened. You see, with the 70 AD doctrine, people have taken information in the Bible and they've redefined it. When they talk about the second coming, they understand that is the coming against Jerusalem in 70 AD. When they see the word resurrection in the Bible, they redefine that instead of meaning resurrection at the end of time. To them, it means the resurrection, really the resuscitation of Christianity. They would say, well, prior to 70 AD, Christianity suffered some setbacks. There was some persecution and there was a downturn. But by the time of 70 AD, with the collapse of Judaism, Christianity was resurrected. It began to be on the upswing. Most Bible-believing people have a literal belief in a coming judgment day. But the 70 AD doctrine proponents say that's not the case. Judgment came. That final judgment occurred in 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed. We could give a lot of examples, but basically I want to communicate the point that no matter what teaching we look at in the Bible, there has been someone somewhere at some point in history or at the present day who has somehow attacked or tried to destroy, pervert some biblical truth. We've heard, as you look at history, people say that Jesus was not born of a virgin. There have been people who have claimed that hell does not exist, man does not have an eternal spirit, Jesus was not divine, the kingdom has not come, claims are made that the Bible is not being interpreted correctly, or the Bible is not from God. When Christians hear these kinds of claims, often they're perplexed, confused, they're troubled, and that should not surprise us. It should not surprise us because of the scripture reading that we heard in Galatians chapter 1. Paul, as he dealt with some people who were there in the area of Galatia, said that a doctrine, some teaching was being done that had troubled the Galatians. This was not what they'd been taught. Some new information came along and it disturbed them. Well, ever since the church was established, this kind of thing has been occurring. Whatever the basis for a perversion, intentional or not, the net effect has been the same. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17, and I'm just citing this passage, I'm not actually going to read from it, Paul spoke of two men. And he said that these two men had, that is, they possessed a certain doctrine or teaching. In ASV, the Bible uses the word word. And that suggests that there was this subject that they liked to preach on. It seems that every time they had an opportunity, they spoke on this topic. And what they were talking about is found in the 18th verse of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it was the resurrection. These men, whatever audience they had, were saying that the resurrection was past. That is, it was over. Well, that sounds like a fairly incredible teaching, especially since the apostles were still around in the first century, but that's what these people were saying. And Paul recognized that this was upsetting some people. So if we look at today, or we go back 2,000 years, we find unsound or we find false teaching. And that's not a small thing. It's not an insignificant matter. Paul said it mattered in 2 Timothy chapter 2. When he wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 1, he said that it mattered. I am going to read from my next reference, and this comes from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16. The passage that we want is verse 12. This context really begins back in verse 6. Jesus was having a conversation with his apostles, with his disciples, and he told them that they needed to beware of something. He pointed to the Pharisees and he pointed to the Sadducees, and Jesus said, these men have a problem. They're involved with leaven. Well, as the disciples heard that word, they were thinking about food, but Jesus said in verse 11, this is not the leaven that is associated with food. It's a different kind of leaven. Then understood they, verse 12, that he, that's Jesus, bade them not beware of the leaven of bread. That wasn't the point. But of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus said, here's some religious information that's like poison, and you need to avoid it. It's like bad leaven. Teaching can affect minds, practices, and the eternal destinies of people. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, you need to be careful. That's right. In another part of the Bible, in Luke chapter 20, verse 27, we read about some people who were called Sadducees. And in Luke 20, verse 27, the Bible says these people did not believe in a future resurrection. Now, that's a pretty serious error. That's a pretty serious matter to say, well, you know, there is not going to be a resurrection and to be mistaken on that point. Many may have heard the Sadducees and reason, well, they are the religious experts. And since they say there's not going to be a resurrection, they must know what they're talking about. Or they may have said these people study the Bible a lot. They've been our Bible class preachers. They've been our teachers. They've been the people that we've learned from so many years. They've helped train our preachers. Preachers are the background of their family. A lot of preachers have come from that family line. Just because someone has written a book, just because someone has preached or trained preachers, that does not mean that that's right or they're right. A related passage is found in the book of Acts, Acts 20, verse 30. Again, simply citing this reference, Paul said that men would arise from within the leadership of the congregation at Ephesus and they would speak perverse things. I sometimes wondered what those perverse things were. Paul didn't specify what they were, but I do know this much, that people would, either in areas of Christian worship, how to live as a Christian, church government, how to become a Christian, maybe all those areas, maybe some of those areas, maybe just one of those areas. But there was some information being given about those kinds of things that was not right. And there was some kind of well-established truth that was compromised or not taught correctly. And this was a fairly widespread problem. Citing another Bible book, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, do you remember that there were some people at Corinth who did not believe in a resurrection? Believe it or not, at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 says there were some people who were denying a future resurrection. Now, how on earth could the people at this congregation have that particular view? They'd been personally taught by the Apostle Paul. Paul had come to Corinth, Acts 18:8, and established his congregation, and the Apostle Paul was still living. How on earth could people take a doctrine as fundamental as the resurrection and say it's not going to occur? Hard to believe. But it happened in first century times. And if it happened in first century times, when apostles were still around, still teaching people, still influencing people through their lives, it certainly can happen today. One of the things that we need to be aware of if we're going to live a successful Christian life is the word sound. Sometimes people refer to sound doctrine, or they may refer to sound teaching. And it's also possible for someone to be involved with unsound teaching. In the New Testament, this word, this translated sound, has a literal meaning and it has a figurative meaning. We sometimes hear the expression safe and sound. Now, I did not research where that expression comes from. But if you went back and looked at that particular point, you might find that it comes from the Bible, or at least it's somehow associated with the Scriptures. I say that because this very expression, safe and sound, is found in the New Testament. And the place where you can find it is Luke 15, verse 27. Now, if you think about Luke 15, you may remember that this is the story of the father. He had two sons. And there was the younger son. He wanted to go into a far country, and he did that for a period of time. He eventually comes back, and the Bible says he is restored to his former place. The older brother comes in from the field. He wants to know what's going on. And a servant says this to him, verse 27. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. There's that expression that we use so often. Well, here we see sound being used in a literal sense. Sound means that this returning boy was whole, he was sound, he was complete, he was entire, he was okay. Nothing was amiss in his life. And this literal sense of sound comes through in some other parts of the Bible. For instance, in Luke chapter 5, verse 31, the Bible says there was a man, a servant, who was healed. He was made whole. He was sound. He was healthy. They have no need of a physician or doctor. The servant reference that I want is not Luke 5, but it's Luke 7, verse 10. Servant was made whole. He was made healthy. He was made sound. In 3 John, verse 2, the writer refers to being in health. That is, the person was sound, that they were doing okay. And while this word is sometimes used literally, typically to describe health, a person is feeling well, they're in good condition, it sometimes has a figurative meaning, and that's really where we want to concentrate our attention on today. When we deal with the figurative meaning of sound in the New Testament, we find that it is again and again joined with the idea of doctrine or teaching, that is, what we believe, what we teach, and how we live. I want to look at some passages, and as you might expect, when Paul wrote to preachers, Timothy and Titus, all three of these letters use this word that's translated sound, and they use it quite frequently. One of the places where we see it being used is in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Paul said, for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men, for men stealers, for liars, for false swears, and if there be anything other or anything else contrary to sound doctrine. God says there's something that's called sound doctrine. And God says if there is something that is contrary or different or not consistent with sound doctrine, you need to leave it alone. God has a very strong interest in sound doctrine. Now today, as you look at some people, sometimes in the church and many times outside the church, they would say, well, that sound doctrine stuff, that's an old-fashioned concept. That's fuddy-duddy stuff. That's out of date. It no longer matters. Well, that's not God's view. When we look at the Bible, if the Bible is going to be our religious guide, we find that that is simply not the case. Rather, we find that when we look at sound doctrine in the Bible, it is presented in such a way where we must make a choice. We either accept sound doctrine, and that means we accept it all, or we embrace something else. Whether that's some unsound doctrine or a lot of unsound doctrine, we make that choice. It either has to be all sound, or we're going to have some defects. And the seriousness of this choice is found in the concept of being sick or healthy. We understand what it means to be sick. There's not a single person here, I believe, who wants to be sick. But that happens. At various points in times, we become ill. We can eat food that makes us sick. We have fluids that we can drink that will make us ill. We can expose ourselves to an environment that will make us sick. Last week, I heard about a man. I've never met him. But someone else was describing him for me. He used to work for a lawn chemical company and sprayed fertilizer, and he was around a lot of chemicals. Doctor warned him that that may not be a good thing, but he just kind of laughed it off, never wore any kind of protective gear. And then the man telling me about this individual said he fathered three children. And all three of those children have serious birth defects, very likely because he was exposed to chemicals. That's tragic. We want to avoid sickness, disease, bad health. And even though we'd like to prevent sickness in the world, we know that that does not always happen. We sometimes can become involved with people, expose ourselves to people who are infected with a disease, and because they're infected and we're around them, that also makes us sick. In the physical realm, we generally want to do our best to avoid some kind of illness. And even though we recognize that principle in the secular realm, and we do our best to apply it, God tells us by using this word sound, that this same idea is also true in the spiritual realm. There is food in the spiritual realm that can make us sick. There are things that we can drink, not literally, but spiritually, we can ingest some things that will make us ill, things that are toxic, things that are deadly, and the results are eternal. We can ingest that information from preaching, teaching, books, videos, etc., a lot of things, and it's just like poison. We can expose ourselves to a spiritual environment that will make us spiritually ill. It's possible to put ourselves into contact with false teachers who will affect and infect us. So it's no wonder that when Paul writes to these preachers, Timothy and Titus, he picks up with this idea of soundness and he uses it again and again and again. If you've turned to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, I'd encourage you to skip a little bit later as you go through the book to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Even though Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 there were some things contrary to sound doctrine and Timothy needed to avoid that, he showed that sound or healthy doctrine does exist. He knew that that would be a challenge, so when he comes to the close of this book, he makes that point once again. In 1 Timothy 6:3, the King James translation, if you have that, will use the word wholesome. And that may not be the strongest translation, but again, this is the word that's elsewhere translated sound. In 1 Timothy 6:3, Paul also talks about someone who would teach a different doctrine. And when someone teaches something besides sound doctrine, it is different doctrine, and it is not found sound. And we mentioned earlier, at the beginning of the lesson, some of the doctrines that are not sound, we want to avoid those. And now 1 Timothy 6:3. If any man teacheth a different doctrine, and as we said, we've listed some of those, and consents not to the sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness. And then Paul goes on with verse 4 saying, here are some of the consequences of that. But notice from this verse this additional point, that sound doctrine is associated with godliness. There are a lot of religious people who say, we want to be godly. We want to be right with God. Well, that's wonderful. That's great. But one of the criteria to be godly is to have the right or sound doctrine. In the next book, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul set hold of the pattern of sound words. God has given us a system. He's given us a book of sound words, of healthy words. Stated another way, God has said by using this book, you're going to stay spiritually healthy. Well, what happens if we abandon or we forsake the book in one way or another? There are many ways. Then we're going to be sick. If we cling to it and not the ideas and the doctrines of men, we will be fine. But not everybody's willing to do that. I know that beyond any doubt because of what Paul said in the next letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He specifically said that there will be some people who will not hold to sound doctrine. Paul said there will be some people who have itching ears. They want their ears scratched. But you know, God says that that will make us sick. Spiritually ill. Toxic information. Sound doctrine is to be taught, and in the book of Titus, Titus chapter 1, verse 9, a preacher was told to exhort people in it. That is, this is what you teach, this is what you encourage people to follow, this is what you tell people to adhere to. Well, what if they're not willing to do that? In Titus 1, verse 13, just a few verses later, the writer said, reprove them sharply. Sometimes people go to a doctor, and the doctor reproves them. He says, you are sick or you're going to be sick if you do not follow the instructions. Here's some things that you must do or you're going to be sick or you're going to die. In the spiritual realm, God says that same kind of thing needs to be done. A person who commits to be a teacher for God, whether that is a preacher, whether that is a Bible class teacher, or whether that's someone who is doing a home Bible study, Titus 2 verse 1 says they are under divine obligation to teach sound doctrine. They have no right to teach anything else. Well, sometimes people, as they age, think, well, I've learned some new things, and I'm going to teach that. That's not right. In Titus chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, even the older members are to teach sound or healthy doctrine. So just because someone has been around for a while, they think they found something new, if it's not consistent with the Word of God, age gives them no right to teach something else. Have one final passage, and this also comes from the book of 1 Timothy, staying with that first chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 1, towards the end of the text, verse 19. Holding faith, and Paul says, and a good conscience, which some having thrust from them made shipwreck concerning the faith. Well, that imagery may not have a lot of meaning to most of us because we do not spend that much time on a boat or a ship. We do, however, typically spend a lot of time in automobiles. So if you will, mentally substitute shipwreck there for auto wreck or car wreck. And as you look at the imagery, this is not the image of some kind of fender bender, but it is a major collision. It's the kind of auto accident which will sever limbs and possibly destroy life itself. Paul said you can think about sound doctrine in this way. We will have shipwreck. We will have a major car wreck, a significant spiritual catastrophe, if we fail to learn, that is, if we do not know, we do not accept, and we do not follow sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, we need to choose that and embrace that, because that's going to choose and determine our final destiny. You know, if we accept false doctrine, unsound doctrine from the devil, then we should plan on meeting it, because that's where that course leads. But if we choose the doctrine of God in its entirety, the Bible says that's the healthy choice. And our world puts a lot of stress on making healthy choices. God says we can have that choice. It's the healthy, it's the sound, it's the right choice. And with that choice, we should plan on meeting God. All people have to make a choice about the doctrine they're going to follow. The sound doctrine, the doctrine that God has given, the doctrine that God said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, you hold that pattern of sound words. My word, nothing more, nothing less, and have spiritual health. We hope that you found those sound words, that whole gospel, that you become a Christian by the whole plan that God has given, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, and you're continuing to abide by that sound doctrine as you live the Christian life. But if you're not doing that, you've selected a system that may not show the effects right now too much to you, but a system that will eventually show that you're sick. A system that leads to a path that's not desirable. And we hope that you'll consider the importance of sound doctrine. If that's something that you need to consider and you need help with, either you've not obeyed it, or you have and perhaps you've drifted, and there's some way this morning that we can help put you back on the right course for good spiritual health, will you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?